These questions, there is room, we will pause, talk about the questions, have discussion, additional discussion as needed before we move on, all right? So do not in any way feel like you're alone in that concern, all right? You had a question.
Light. Okay. I was rationing it.
How is that?
That's okay.
And it's because I don't have to turn it on.
I'm gonna press the button. I hope it without it.
Dan is on it.
There's not a bunch of asking, and I'm not sure.
That's a good point.
It's okay.
I think it's a thermostat.
Okay, that's a lot of lights.
That may be a little too much.
Is that good? Softer?
There we go, there we go.
Good.
Harder?
Thank you, softer.
Okay. Other questions before we start? Okay, do you remember why we're here? Free sandwiches. Those are good sandwiches. Those are good sandwiches. This is not the end of the conversation. This is feeding into an ongoing conversation that the city and the housing authority will continue to have, all right? I want to just keep that in mind. In terms of what you can expect, next steps, so all this information we will collect, we will share it with you tonight, so you'll see the collective response for the group. We are going to, Helen, when is this? We are going to present the outcomes from this process to City Council and to the Housing Authority Board. What was the date on that again?
So we're going to first present to the AHRQ Redevelopment and Housing Authority on May 7th. Then we'll go to the AHRQ Board of Commissioners on May 21st. And then we will go to City Council tentatively. Their first legislative session in June. But I understand that there's an election stuff that night, so the date may change. So we'll let you guys know.
And you will also have copies of what we are presenting to the working group, council, and the board. I do want to caution you, our goal wasn't necessarily to get to consensus with this group, right? We are not trying to, everybody must agree and it must be one thing. In fact, dissonance is important. We know that there are wide varieties of opinions about what should and shouldn't happen, and that is okay, all right? That is okay because that's part of the story about how we talk about and try to solve for the affordable housing crisis in the city. One thing though that I will say, and this is certainly something we've been talking with the Housing Authority about, at the core of all of this is money. The ability to deliver quality affordable housing in the city of Alexandria rests with how do we finance it? How do we access additional resources to be able to do that, right? And so, for example, when we get to be talking to council, who makes decisions about the commitments of the city and what you prioritize, right? This is one of the key issues, right? Because we can have wonderful ideas, but if we can't get them financed, it won't make much of a difference, all right? And I think that I at least want to put that squarely on the table because ultimately, it's going to come down to resources, right? And how much can be raised. And I know there are conversations going on with the city right now about the role that the city can play, should play going forward, building up on what it does now. Yep? Other questions? All right. Again, we're going to pause with every question and talk as we need to. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is get you familiar with your tool. So we have two quick exercises so you know how to work them. And the first one is, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream? And you are going to click, the first one is chocolate. If you like chocolate, you'll click one. If you like vanilla, you're going to click two on your buttons. Strawberry is three. mint chocolate chip is 4, butter pecan is 5, and 6 is other. So then I'm gonna ask you, please register your preference, and you get 1. And we're giving you, see, I can tell how many people have responded. This is in real time, so 12, 13.
What happens if we hit it twice?
It registers the last
one. The last one.
So you could change your vote by hitting your button again?
Yes. Whatever your last response is the answer. All right? Okay. Calling, last call.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Okay, 18. All right, we have 18 responses. So now, all right. So most of you like butter pecan. All right, this is how it works. Huh? But you know,
who are you?
Chocolate is close. All right, one last quick question to lock in your familiarity. Where do you live in Alexandria? Click 1 if you live in Old Town, 2 if you live in Parker Gray / Braddock, 3 Landmark / Van Dorn, 4 West End, 5 Seminary Hill, 6 Taylor Run / Duke Street, 7 Northridge Rosebud, 8 Southwest Quadrant, or 9 if you live somewhere else. All right, we've got 18 responses, so we're locked. Anybody changing your mind? No, 2 seconds, okay. We're done. I'm locking you in. All right, so.
Other.
What is this?
Where is Other?
Where is Other?
North Old Town, not Old Town.
Delray.
Ah!
Delray, not
there. All right.
So we won't know how many people selected a certain option? Like the actual, the raw number?
Some of the questions.
Okay. Not the percentage, the actual raw number.
We can, I think you can.
Yeah. So the raw, not on this slide, but the when we spit out the data.
Okay.
All right. What percent is it?
It says
50% of you live somewhere other than
9.
That's 9, exactly. 9. All right. That's our last test. All right. You feel comfortable?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the first, by the way, these are going to end up being a series of sub questions. So I'm going to read everything. You also, by the way, you have printed copies of these questions as well. If you want to follow along, they're slightly different on your printed question because these have been scrubbed a little for the purposes of this exercise. So here is the statement. The Housing Authority would prefer the current resolution to remain unchanged to continue to provide maximum flexibility to the Housing Authority. The city would prefer some revisions to the resolution to minimally provide greater clarity on certain definitions and to reaffirm expectations. So now we want to hear from you about which of these statements do you agree with?
Can I
voice
something here? So in looking at this, one of the things that I dug into was the census data. Mm-hmm. So in 1980, when the original numbers that we're looking at, population's increased by 36% since 1980. So if you want to keep steady state, you have to change the numbers basically up by about 500 to have the same percentage units available to the population of Alexandria that you had in 1980. If you keep the number the same as what's in the current resolution, you're actually decreasing.
I'm glad you raised that. So let's talk about that. Remember, the resolution as it is written right now is not based on percentages. It's based upon a hard number of units that existed, that the Housing Authority owned and operated that was to be preserved. We're gonna come back with future questions that will talk about what about the future, because you raised a good point ultimately about you've got an existing resolution that says X. Do we need to be talking about something different to help the city plan for the future? But I did want to clarify the current resolution, as it is written, specifically specifies a set number of units, and that is the subject of the resolution right now. And I'm going to go to Dan and then Mary.
It's not a bad point, though, because, I mean, I think...
It's a good point.
I would say that for me, anyway, the clear spirit of the resolution is the people in those units, not just the... So, like, I don't know that I think it makes sense to just presume that we get out there on the axle of units only, mm-hmm. and not look beyond that to, like, why.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, if I'm understanding you correctly, you...
He's getting water.
Oh.
You ran him off. Sorry.
He said he was trying to follow the rules, but everybody else was a deal breaker.
Sorry. It's hot in the room.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cause a disturbance. They said no food and water, so I left the water, and everyone else had it.
Okay, everybody, please don't tell that we brought water into the room. They did ask us not to. So I just want to come back to the sort of the combined points about ultimately the future state and whether or not, because we will have a question on here about a different resolution, right? And what should that have in it, right? But I think your point is well taken, because the city has changed, the need has grown, the need hasn't diminished, right? But I did want to be clear about current resolution versus what we're talking about going forward. All right, but I don't want to lose this point, and we'll come back to this. I'm sorry, Mary.
Sorry, Mary. Point taken on number of units and increased need. Our civic association is North Old Town. 300, more than 350 of these units are in our neighborhood. We would like them to stay there, whether there's more people accommodated in that location. But, you know, we've taken a position that the resolution should remain the same, mainly because we're looking at, we would like them to be in the same place, mm-hmm. in our neighborhood, and contributing to the diversity and the robustness of our neighborhood. These are our neighbors, we would like them to stay. If there's more, that would be okay too. So I think that there's the number of units, but there's specific properties that these units are tied to, such as Hopkins Tansel, Annie B. Rose, Ledray. And so we sort of were looking at it as the places, mm-hmm. not just the numbers. So I just want to throw that out in terms of what the thinking is on remaining the same.
Okay, hold on, Jan.
So I want to just ask a question of clarification around the top statement related to the points raised. Second sentence, bottom line, reaffirm expectations. Which expectations are we talking about being reaffirmed? Are those actually the numbers of units? Is that one of the reaffirmations? In relation to this topic, the answer to the question raised puts us in a position of voting between B and C.
No, this is not an either or. You're going to vote on every one of them.
No, but the question raised is not being addressed by...
It's a different question.
It's a different question altogether,
how? I think, right? So one of the things as we go through this exercise, so there is the, you've got the current resolution, right? Then you also got a new resolution. The new resolution doesn't necessarily presume it replaces the current one, right? It can be additive, right? So part of the issue is, as I said, the Housing Authority right now likes the resolution the way it is, right? As it stands, it gives the maximum flexibility, and there's a deal-by-deal conversation about how you develop each site. Nothing wrong with that, right? The city is in a slightly different place about changes to that resolution. And so we started this workshop, whenever we started it ago, right, saying one of the outcomes could be nothing changes, right? Part of this exercise is getting enough input from folks about the range of those questions, right? And so the issue, the separate issue on the table about expanding the supply, right? That's a different question, I think, than the current resolution only deals with the finite number of units that the housing authority is committed to preserving right now. All right, I see some funny looks on faces, so I wanna make sure we spend a minute answering every question before we lose everybody.
I have a thought. So what Mary was saying? Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is North Old Town, they're saying that they want to maintain the units that they currently have in their neighborhood, but does modifying the resolution preclude that from happening?
Nope.
So, okay, I just...
Remember, the resolution as it is now is if the housing authority is going to develop any of those sites where those units are subject to the resolution, all of those units must be returned.
No, but in other areas. So, but I guess the reason why I brought that up is because I don't want anybody to think that just because you keep it the same doesn't mean that those units in North Old Town won't go away. They could.
Most likely. What do you mean by go away?
They would leave that area and possibly go on the west side or something like that.
Yeah, nothing in 830 now prevents that.
Exactly. You can do that now. When you develop a site, the replacement units can go back on site, they can go somewhere else, so that's right now allowed under the current resolution.
I do understand that, but I guess I was saying that because when she made her comment, she said that they wanted to stay the same. So to me, those, again, are two different things. I didn't want anybody else to think that just because it stays the same, those units will still be in North Old Town, because that's not necessarily the case.
Well, it does say that if redevelopment occurs, that those housing units would be replaced on site, and then it says, or elsewhere in the city. But it clearly, the preference is on site. That's our reading of it.
That's why I brought that point up, because I'm not sure that that's the case.
So I have a big concern with this question.
Okay.
So we all can understand what A is, staying the same, it's what we've already read. But choosing something like B or C, current resolution should be revised. In the statement, there's already, I feel as though the city already knows what those revisions are.
Which we're gonna get to.
But the question is being presented to us now. So if we're looking at revisions to the resolution, that the city prefers, we did not have that information. So I don't feel as if we can answer that we want it to be revised. Say we like the proposal that was presented amongst the group, and that's why we select to be revised. But the city may have their own idea of what those revisions may look like. And if we vote for B, I'm concerned that that information will be shared with these other discussion groups, and that perception may not be actually accurate to what the group meant when they voted on this question.
Okay, fair enough.
Ray, I suggest this question be asked last.
Last? Okay. We can move on and come back to this. Yeah, makes sense?
Yeah.
No, she says no?
No.
I mean, either you think it should be changed or you don't. We're not saying right now what those changes should be.
Yeah, this is not about what.
It's just, do you think it's okay as it stands, or do you think that there's something else that needs to be done?
The issue is that second sentence, because it says the city would prefer some revisions.
It assumes that they already have revisions
in
mind.
So if we say it should be revised,
what are they?
Then they can say that.
Which we're going to get to in a few extra questions. But her point is, this first question is just about, are you happy with the resolution as it stands? Nothing happens. The resolution as it stands, it gets changed. This is not yet about what it gets changed to.
That sentence, the statement just needs to be revised.
Okay, so.
Yeah, that statement.
Just remove the.
Brandy is sitting in front of the computer right now. We're gonna revise this question collectively. So tell me what you think this should be revised to that you think would be more accurate.
Everything after the city would refer, because that has built-in assumptions.
Or just take out the first.
That may lead to a certain answer.
Should we just take out the question altogether?
No, take out.
No, take out the sentence about the city.
Okay, just delete the last sentence.
Yeah, take out.
Because otherwise, if we vote for B, it looks like we're voting for whatever the city wants.
Take out the first.
Okay, exactly. And B, rather than say the current resolution should be revised, could it be amended? Is that a little different than revised?
It feels the same to me.
Feels the same. But keeps the corpus, the body of what.
So, all right, so I think I'm hearing the. Okay, so how many of you think we should just, the intro sentence is what we should just change? Just get rid of it.
The second sentence of the intro.
She wants all of it. You want just the second sentence. Yes, sir.
No, I mean, okay, so.
It's okay, it's okay. This room, this is a table to have all opinions.
I know, so.
What you're saying.
I'm sorry, one at a time, please.
No, I'm saying, so here.
Kevin's got the floor.
No, so I think, my thinking is that, like, if you wanted to, picking C is fine. I mean, because even, it can be new anyway, even if you revise stuff. It's still a new thing if you revise it. So I don't think there's, I think that's like a safe ground. If you want something to change in it, saying C, I mean, that's what would be my thinking. Because anything that you add to it is going to make it new anyway. It's going to be basically a whole new agreement if you make a change.
Not necessarily. It depends on, it could be completely, because remember, right now, the city and the housing authority have a specific agreement. They are the only parties to that agreement. It is conceivable a new, completely different agreement could not necessarily be between the city and the housing authority, for example. It could be other partners who are delivering affordable housing, for example. We don't know, right? But so there's one agreement right now between the city and the housing authority, right? You've all read that. It's old.
But what if we want both those things?
If you, that's why you can put all of that. You can want both of those things.
So when you said it could be a completely new agreement with adding other partners, if you revise it and B, those other partners could still be added into that revision,
B and C. Okay, the current resolution, the only signatures to that is the Housing Authority of the City.
Right. And when you revise it, now you're not revising signatures, you're just revising information.
She's saying that you could add additional partners.
You could add.
Well, then vote for C.
So then that you're talking, potentially C.
Right, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
Right, but when you said it's not, I was just kind of agreeing with him. But let's click. Because you said 8 o'clock.
To clarify, can people choose more than one? Or are we choosing A, B, so you have to choose A, B, C, or D?
Yes.
You have to choose
or undecided.
But Dan wants all of them.
Do we leave that question for the end?
No, you have to make a choice.
I'm saying, if you wanted to revise Resolution 830 to specify affordability levels, say, and you wanted to add something new to allow nonprofits to join
and
in,
go
the,
to C.
Well, then you want both things. It's not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
No. We're going to have some additional questions that get to some of those questions you're asking right now. So you're nervous to choose. We're not going to hold, really.
Yeah. Well, let's go. Can we just come back to that question?
Ms. Wanda, what were you saying?
Can we just move?
You want to pause the question you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, how many of you want to move on without voting on this question? How many of you want to vote on this question? Oh, Lordy. All right, we're going to move on. Brandy, put a marker so we can come back to this one. All right, we're going to not vote and we're going to come back. People voted.
We're gonna come back to the question.
Three people voted. Okay.
Thanks, John.
All right, we're going to be here a while if we don't move along a little faster.
Yes.
The next question is about the 1981 resolution had at the back of it the listing of units at the time, and including the bedrooms, ones, twos, studios, six, and fives. This question, based on the deliberation with the city and the housing authority, was that that chart on the bedrooms should be removed, and that the resolution 830, the requirement to replace by bedroom side is not, should be removed. That chart at the end, 1981 bedroom. It has fours, fives, and sixes. When you look at the demand right now for housing authority units, they're trending for much smaller units. So this is a question that we wanted to hear from you, whether or not you agree with this statement or not. And I need a drink of water.
A drink.
I don't think it's worded properly, because the current resolution does take bedroom types into account, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
the city
this is saying,
they're going
to
do
so. It should say like proposed or something like that to distinguish between how it currently is and how you want it to be.
Or if they've already made an agreement that they're not going to.
So what does the current resolution say?
The current resolution right now is silent on replacement by bedroom type. So it's not a four bedroom for four bedroom, it's not a five bedroom for five bedroom. It is not, but that list is at the back of the resolution. And in one of the previous meetings we had, you all raised this as a question about whether or not there should be, this makes sense to keep. So this is a question that actually came out of our deliberations as a group, and the city and the housing authority actually agreed with it. So that, do we have the resolution in the room? Did you bring copies?
You didn't.
The actual for tonight?
So,
so that just lists the bedrooms from 1981, and the reality of how the sites have been redeveloped is the new bedroom mix that is being returned is reflective of the needs of families now, right? Because some of the families who were there in 1981 are not the same families here right now. So it's based upon the demand for units now, the waiting list analysis, and who is here right now. So in reality, you are not actually doing a bedroom for bedroom replacement. So this is one of the cleanups to the resolution that is being proposed and that the City and the Housing Authority agree on. Yes, ma'am.
A four bedroom, just using the four bedroom analogy that you have there, a four bedroom assumes that there would be enough people in that unit to take up four bedrooms. So the unit, it's, if you replace it with a one bedroom unit, you no longer serve the same number of people.
Well, maybe you can replace it with 4 1 bedroom units.
You could, but and that's the resolution only says 1,100.
Resolution also says, yes. And I would just caution somebody in a four bedroom unit now, when a unit is redeveloped, doesn't necessarily mean they get a four bedroom because they may be overhoused. Mm-hmm. Somebody who is in a smaller unit now might need a larger unit when the site is redeveloped. So the idea really here is the balancing of the program, folks get right sized into the units that they actually need at the time of redevelopment, and then that's based on market.
Well, this goes right back to Mr. Bird's comment, which was the actual need is based on people. It is not based on units. It's how many units are needed to serve the people that need them. And so somehow four bedrooms is a surrogate for a certain number of people that needed to be in those at the same place. So I think, you know, this is where you go back and forth. You know, if it says 1,151 of this size and type,
that assumes that that can house X number of people. So even if we don't agree with that, what we would not agree with is to substitute a one, you know, in other words, a four bedroom for a one bedroom. But as Mary said, we would accept a four bedroom for 4 1 bedrooms, but that isn't what the resolution says at all.
Correct. And that's where this question.
Four over house, so that four bedroom would not necessarily have that number of people.
Correct. Correct.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
that's cool. I think we got it. And projections on family size by socioeconomic class.
So we looked at the housing authority, the demand for housing based on the housing authority wait list, right?
Okay, that gives a picture.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. I was plugging the numbers into Excel, so I'm sorry if I missed it, but like, would answering this question, would it? So there are 1,150 units with a total of 2,411 bedrooms. Would answering this preclude us from saying we want to preserve, we want the commitment to be to preserve 2,411 bedrooms, and I don't care how hard or how puts them together, so we can take a four bedroom and turn it into two twos, that's up to them, but they can't turn a four into a one.
So you're asking for then a replacement by total bedrooms?
I'm saying, is this question a false dichotomy? It allows no other options. I either want bedrooms to be part of it or I don't. But what if I want bedrooms to be part of it, but just different than the way you worded it?
That's photo
what
we've got.
I guess I feel differently. I really do feel that this, if this is not reflecting what the spirit of this, the majority of the group is, that we should stop. If the majority of the group thinks that this is a good question, fine, I'll go with it. But my feeling is that I'm very much in favor of the number of bedrooms being carried forward for the number of people.
So in that case, your answer would be no. On this one, your answer would be no.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
We keep going through, putting all of them aside, otherwise we won't answer.
So this one, if based on what you've just said and what you've just said, Dan, right? You would vote no on this, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So I'm trying to remember, we talked about having a shortage in the city of 4 and 3 bedrooms, and developers are kind of moving towards the 1 and 3 bedroom units, just as a trend. How do we now?
Not a trend. It's a based on the demand analysis.
Well, I'm talking about developers. Developers they don't do their development based on what we want. It's how the market is going.
Exactly. This
so the
is
market
demand
is,
analysis, well, market yeah. analysis, financing. There's
so,
a lot of things that go into how these performance get put
so
together.
We should assume there's no longer demand in the city for the larger units, the 4 and 3.
I would
bedrooms.
Not say that. No, I would say that based on this discussion.
Because I guess I'm trying to understand how do we preserve the larger units that may be needed.
So John, who is a developer, was whispering under his breath.
I would just say I think it's right. I think there's not a demand for many 4 bedroom units. And quite frankly, the people that are in 4 bedroom units are extended families that are could multi-generation that could be in you know, two separate households. And I'm not saying that's the right thing or wrong thing to do, but I'm saying that the demand for your typical 4 bedroom unit, which would be a family with children, is certainly it's just not there, at least from what I see.
And
even
the housing authority's
the
data
that
supports that.
Even
the,
in the market,
the trend
even
is sort of
the incomes that we're trying to serve is very limited.
How many 4 bedrooms do we have that are listed right now? In the list that we have for the resolution, do you know what the number is of 4 bedrooms? Like, are we talking about like 5 or are we talking about like 50?
59
4 bedrooms.
From 1981.
I was just going to say that in 1981, a 4 bedroom unit would, like the way that the housing is accommodated now, is it through Section 8? Like, if you have 3 children, they may put you in a 2 bedroom now as opposed to
in 1981, you might have gotten a larger size unit. So, is it, you know what I'm trying to say, right?
There are rules around where you can share bedrooms and things like that. But
yeah, so I'm, what I'm saying is, if you have these four bedroom units, there's no guarantee that like a family with a voucher or something like that would even be allowed to have that size unit.
Well, the unit is not tied to the subsidy, it's tied for the demand for that type of unit.
But who would be able to, I guess what I'm saying is, who would we even be able to put in that unit? Because you said before that you have these larger units that just sit vacant.
I didn't say that.
In, no. In one of the previous meetings, if I'm not mistaken.
No, what we've said is that the trend line, when you look at the demand for the housing authority units, and housing authority staff are in the room, the demand is for smaller units. Right, family sizes are getting smaller, so the demand analysis is for not larger units, and that is true for the demand that we see nationwide. But I'm gonna let the housing authority respond based on your own data.
So we looked at our wait list, which is about 9,000 people overall, and we found out that 70% of those are for ones and twos. There's no one on the wait list for a four bedroom right now.
So out of the four bedrooms that you currently have in your stock, those are all filled?
Well, there are people living in them, but like she said, some of those could be underhoused, where you have some.
Do you have that data though? Do you know? Because that would help us to make a decision on whether there should be larger units available.
Can I think that the decision to have larger units is a little bit separate from this. This is kind of saying, if you have a four bedroom, does that need to be replaced with a four bedroom?
Wait, Ms. Wanda was patiently waiting right here.
Can we revise that question with the language of as demand analysis or analysis demand reflects for the current time, as opposed to, okay, if we need 59 bedrooms based on the demand for what we need, we can provide one or two or three bedrooms or four bedrooms. So as to not tie up that question, but just to have a caveat or some kind of language in that.
Okay.
That'll be your recommendation.
That's my recommendation.
That's what this, but if you read the question in more detail that we have on our sheet and actually read this question, that's what it's saying. It's not saying we shouldn't have four bedrooms.
Right.
It's saying that the bedroom mix of a new product replacement should be based on demand analysis for needs of existing families and market studies. Not that we shouldn't have four bedrooms, it just says that we should base it on the demand at the time.
How do we reserve?
The demand shows at the time that we need four bedrooms, then we should be building four bedrooms.
Yeah, it's just
the idea is you get away.
But that's what the question is. Right? I mean, that's exactly what the question says.
Thank you, John. I think that point is very well served. I think what we're saying is if there's a demand for four bedrooms, maybe you need five four bedrooms, not 59 four bedrooms. We want the flexibility to deliver what the demand is, not building 59 four bedrooms and you don't have that demand. But I will say that HUD's regulations generally are two people per bedroom. So if you have a four bedroom, that's a family of people. We don't see very typical.
Is the 30% roughly three bedrooms?
We have some demand for studios, but we don't have studios. It's mostly ones and twos.
Again, just to clarify, this doesn't say you don't have large bedroom units. This simply says that it is not an upfront requirement that says a four bedroom exists today, it must be a four bedroom regardless of demand. This is asking that the city and the housing authority, and frankly any developer would want this, that the bedroom mix is based upon demand for the families you need to rehouse, because the families who live here now are not the ones who were living there in 1981. Many of them are different households, and their bedroom needs might be different. And that the demand analysis, who is on the wait list as well as the market, will inform what that mix looks like. This is not saying there will not be any large bedroom units going forward.
I just have an administrative question.
Administrative question.
Okay. Because John's point, you stated when we started that these questions were different than the questions we had. So what is it? Is it just that that's an abbreviated form and these are
That's an abbreviated form to get them on the screen.
Because that clarification is important because you know, I agree with John as I read the rest of this, but you started off by saying our questions that we're answering are different than the questions on the paper, so.
Abbreviated.
But that's only A and B, this is A through D, so what do we, what would you?
We just on this one question, each of them becomes a question on the screen. We haven't, we're just on the first one. We're just on the one, we're gonna be here until midnight. So we gotta get us moving, all right, I need you to vote on this one, 9 people have voted. I need 9 more people to vote on that one, yes, Ellen?
I was just gonna make a comment, but I think this discussion shows you some of the struggles that staff have gone through in terms of initially recommending that we look at clarifying things, because I realized that when we got to the Ramsey home, it was the first time that all the bodies, RHA and the city, had no one who was an original person that could speak for what was meant when a Resolution 830 was crafted. Or had those strong feelings about why this would have been important. And so I think these are things that, you know, if we say this isn't important, then we take off that, maybe the revision is we take off that attachment because it leaves the feeling, you know, kind of murky. So I think even though sometimes discussions like this feel a little uncomfortable, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm still waiting for 3 more people who haven't voted. Yes, sir.
I was gonna say that, even though I know this question, it does touch on it, but it doesn't quite hit on it. It seems like a lot of people are like that. I think there should be something that they follow, like,
Here, Kevin.
I said, even though this question kind of touches on it, but it doesn't quite, like, really reach on what everyone was saying in terms of bedroom for bedroom, in terms of replacing it in that manner. So, like, what we were talking about, I think it should be a question about that, you know, some type of note made in terms of people, because that seems to be like kind of a general reoccurring theme in terms of having, like, if you get rid of a 4, then add 4 rooms, something like that. That seems like something that.
All right, so you're asking for adding a different question, right? So yeah, total number of bedrooms.
For development or?
Well, just, yeah, just the whole thing, I'm just saying.
We're gonna make a note.
Get rid of a 4.
We're gonna make a note of that question.
Yeah,
so it's really about you, if I'm correct in my understanding of your question, it would be total number of bedrooms.
Yes.
That exists today,
yes.
You would be advocating for total number of bedrooms replaced, regardless.
Absolutely.
4s, 3s, 2s, or 1s. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanna make sure I heard that.
Which would be an increase in units. But the point is that what I think what you're saying is people that are living there now, we need to replace, make sure everyone has a home.
Right.
And RHA does that. So if there are 2 families living in a 5-bedroom unit, both of those families will be housed after redevelopment's done. It may not be back on site, they will be given vouchers or those families will be housed.
So no, that's not what I'm saying.
But you're not saying is that if there's a 5-bedroom and there are 3 families living there, that we build one or 2-bedroom units.
So what I'm saying is just being able to house the same number of people. I'm not looking at it from a family standpoint, but I'm just looking at it from a people standpoint.
Uh-huh, right.
So what I mean, like, if right now you're able to have so many bedrooms or whatever, that's 4 people in there. You know what I mean? Like,
But you're saying 2 different things, right? And that's so people and bedrooms are 2 different things, because you could have more people living in a certain size unit, and when you redevelop, those families might split into 2 families, or they're in a bigger unit and they're in a smaller unit. So it's not a direct correlation 1-to-1 because of overhousing and underhousing. So I just want to push on that because it's a slightly different thing. The bedroom for the total bedrooms, that was clearer in my head as a point, but. This question really, because if you're asking for that, then the answer just click no.
Well, that's what I clicked.
So, good, because we can move on. Because remember, I want to just be clear, this is not a one and done. There is all these parallel conversations going on, and then we're going to look at all of this, what does it all mean, and be able to try to distill all of this. But I really am going to move you on, and somebody hasn't voted, but I'm going to kick you all out so we can move on to the next question.
You think everybody voted?
Oh, Sorry.
Excuse me, Ray, when you go through the questions, can you read the original questions? Because they are abbreviated on the slide.
All right, I will read the original question. So, all right, so here is how you voted, all right? Let's go to the next question. And I'm going to read verbatim from the printed sheet. Existing families, people living at the site at the time of development approval who are in good standing, that is, they're compliant with their lease, should have a priority to return. Do you agree? Please tell me you can do this one fast.
Just clarification.
Yes.
Should or do?
Huh?
Should or do?
Should.
Should.
Should. Yes or no?
What are some reasons why someone would have priority? Like disabled or family size?
No.
Are there any priorities existing now?
They just have to
Everyone's
be
even.
Okay. They have to be a current resident when that site is up for development.
Okay.
So it doesn't take into account, if they're disabled, they're going to need a new disabled TIF, right? So.
Okay. Everybody's flat. Yeah.
Everybody is an existing resident. I need three more votes.
I'm sorry. I just have one thing. So for the landlord-tenant side, if there could be something about good standing, because you say in here good standing, if that could be spelled out.
They have to be compliant with their lease.
Is that the only thing? Because I know that there was some other communities that were redeveloped and they were looking at credit, and even though the people had been in their units for a long time, and they use that as a way to move them on. So to me, I just would like to see some clarity on what good standing means.
Okay, so we'll make a note of that and keep us moving, right? So here is what you've said. All right, 6% is what? One? All right, next question. I'm gonna read this one. The development plan, this is all assuming the site is getting developed, right? Because if Zavara does nothing on the site, they just continue to maintain, nothing happens, right? Specific redevelopment plans should include a housing plan which describes the overall strategy for housing all original families, i.e. those who are living there at the time the project comes up for redevelopment, regardless of location, that is on or off site. All right? And the first part is, do you agree with this statement? And we can have the city explain what the housing plan, what that would include when it gets submitted at the time for review.
So are we to include in our thing 1, 2, and 3 of C? Is that part of, are we considering that as part of C on the sheet here?
Yeah, I think that there's sort of elaborations of what C would require.
Right, I'm having the city talk about the elaborations of what that's required. Yes,
okay.
The sub
that's
areas.
Part of this question.
That's part of this question. City, don't be shy. Mary?
Yeah, here's what's a little bit troubling. A housing plan. What isn't here is how long that housing remains in the public sphere.
That's another question.
Okay, because to me, if ARHA gives up land for someone else to develop, that land is lost forever.
But we're not talking about that tonight.
Okay.
That's not about how ARHA is developing the specific land or anything like that, all right?
So when you go, should there be a housing plan that says how long people will have housing?
So, Bronya, talk about what's in the housing plan.
Sure, so this is no different than any other development that comes forward that has an affordable housing piece. So it would talk about the units, the affordability of those units, and I think we don't get to this here, but it's not at the beginning of the project. It's closer to the end when it's getting ready to get prepared for Planning Commission. The Affordable Housing Advisory Committee actually looks at the housing plan to make a recommendation, and Dan can probably talk about this a little bit too, because he's on that committee. But that's the information that gets put forward to them, and Michelle also is on that group, for them to review on all plans. So this is a housing plan that the housing authority does, that any nonprofit developer does, any for-profit developer that's providing set-aside units, it's the same type of plan.
And this is just temporary while the redevelopment is occurring?
No, it's not temporary. This is what will go back. This is the affordable housing plan. So the temporary plan would be the relocation plan, and that's different than the housing plan.
And
so that's related, that goes to the landlord-tenant board for them to review. So there's two different pieces on if it's a existing site that has tenants there, there is a relocation plan that is done related to that. And then, but this is talking specifically about the housing plan and what would go back either on-site or off-site, but there would be it would be a complete plan that the housing authority would put forward to be reviewed.
Is there anything more stringent about this than what's already being done?
No, I think that's what,
being,
yeah,
why,
being,
why in God's name would any of us want that to not be done anymore?
Yeah.
So
that's why it's a yes or no question.
Okay. All right.
But
Aaron told you
it's secured by the conditions.
All right, yeah, and it becomes part of their development. I mean, this is again what goes, it's a component of what Planning Commission and City Council.
But we should clarify though. So they do this now, but this includes some refinement. So for example, the timeline. So let's say units are gonna get replaced off site. What is the plan for that? And what's the timeline right now? That is not as precise. So this is intended to provide everybody more clarity around what is the overall replacement plan, both for the development of the site itself, and if any of the original units are going to go someplace else.
So
what's
it is,
the plan
so it
for
is
that?
More stringent.
It's a little more precise. Moves the slack out of.
And some of the conversation that I think with the housing authority has been, at what time does this all get? You know, because they're phasing, they're looking at it over time. I think a lot of times people think about that happens at the very beginning, and it doesn't really get defined, quite honestly, to be kind of not written into an actual plan. There's lots of discussions throughout a year that this could be going on, but when the plan is actually done, it's closer to 2 months before Planning Commission and Council, because as we've heard throughout this whole process, everybody's continuing to run pro formas, they're running, they're all the financials, that keeps evolving. So it'd be getting it down to a much more concrete piece at that point in time.
I think I understood you to say that the relocation planning is handled through the tenant committee.
But it is a condition, of their development approval that they have a relocation plan.
And that's a separate document.
The HUD requires a relocation plan. That's
and the city does. Separate document. Right. Temporary. So if folks have to move temporarily somewhere, where are they going to go while the site is getting developed? Right? They can move back for their permanence and look.
Resolution 830 doesn't touch on that.
Well, Resolution 830 just simply says there has to be a relocation plan. And by law, they have to have one. Because you can't just.
Correct.
Kick people out and
tear down their
units. Okay, do we need any more discussion on this? Can we vote on this one?
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric. We're missing one person, but I'm going to. Okay, the one person, yes. All right. Finally, 100%. Let's go to the next question. All right, this is now the if, remember? We punted on the question about should we revise Resolution 830 or not. This is where some of these questions about if you wanted to revise it would come in. This question now,
and this
I skipped one. Oops, I'm sorry.
You can pick multiple for that
question. I skipped one.
No, we just did that.
It's not
on that one.
We just did that.
No, there's D.
No, we didn't do that.
D,
or
missing D.
Oh,
here's D.
It's the same though.
No,
that's
no.
It.
We
same
just
one,
voted
much
on
the same one twice.
No.
That's D right there.
No.
No, you're missing the D
one.
Right.
D is not
D. D is not on.
All right. So here's what D says. This is still on the Resolution 830. Resolution 830 applies to the units specified in the 1981 resolution and any resulting replacement units. Show hands. Anybody doesn't agree with that?
This is D.
This is D. We're missing a...
You can't talk fast enough to get that one in there, right?
Okay. So it's this one, D.
The question is, Resolution 830 applies to the units specified in the 1981 resolution and any resulting replacement units.
So agree?
Agree or disagree?
What are we voting on?
That's agree? It. Agree? Okay. Oh, okay. Agree.
Agree. Yeah. Agree.
Disagree. Abstain.
Did everybody vote? I couldn't tell.
Does anybody not vote? I'm going to put 100% on this one?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, now we're rolling along.
Okay. This one is all about if the resolution is revised, amended, tweaked, looks slightly different, all right?
Or new.
No, we're gonna come to that one later.
No, it says for a new resolution.
No, 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 we're talking about the first one.
Number three.
For a new resolution is developed.
That's what it says on there.
That's what it says on the page. If it is revised or a new resolution is developed.
Brandy, what's going on with the question? Did you edit too far? All right. Here's what I'm going to read to you. We're back to the paper.
Yes.
Assuming the resolution is revised or a new resolution is proposed, should any of the following be included in the updated definition of substantially equivalent? Remember, many of our discussions earlier was, what does substantial equivalent mean? And a lot of different viewpoints on this. This is trying to get some precision on this, all right?
Are you only allowed to choose one?
No, this one you can choose multiple.
And mechanically, how does that work for if you want to do A, B, C, and D?
You just pick them all.
All right, it'll record it.
All right, so the first one is about whether or not there should be a minimum unit size specified. This is about the square footage now, not bedrooms. The next one is around bedroom mix. You remember some of you were asking about replacement by similar bedroom mix to those being demolished. This is where this question comes up. Unless there is justification for a departure, right? We've heard a lot of you talking about it should be the same, it should be the same, it should be the same. The next one is require a minimum standard of affordability. We heard a lot of questions about this as well.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
So, the city, for example, has this focus on deeply affordable units, defined as those earning, affordable to those earning between 0% and 30% of their median income as one of the city's priorities to be able to preserve those units. The housing authority, obviously, under current rules, can serve folks earning all the way up to 80% of their median, 0 to 80%. So the affordability definition here, and we have another question, we're going to come back to this, this is simply asking about whether or not there should be a minimum standard required, and later on we're going to come back to this question in a little bit more specificity. All right?
Question. If you limit the minimum standard of affordability, does that affect the subsidy ARHA gets from HUD?
So the subsidy the Housing Authority gets from HUD is tied to the eligibility of the person who is in that unit. So if it's a public housing unit, if it's a Section 8 unit, the income eligibility is just based on the HUD rules, and that is 80% AMI and below. Obviously, if you finance the construction of units with tax credit financing, tax credit rules limit you to 60%. So you can't earn more than 60% to live in a tax credit unit unless the housing authority happens to have a voucher where that unit, that person can take a voucher and move into that unit.
It's not really true anymore, right? They just changed
it.
No,
that's right.
It's
changed.
Yeah. Right. So, and it's the public policy implication, you know, you're double subsidizing a unit, right?
No, you can have a tax credit unit that goes over 60% by MI.
Yeah.
They just changed that policy. And just within the last weeks.
Oh, hot off the press. I didn't know the new news.
You have to average it, and you have to have lower income units.
The tax.
So this just came out.
Yeah.
All right.
So they've expanded the pool of credits. And they've also said you can now income average, which means you can have people at 80% to help subsidize the people at 30%, as long as your average is 60.
Got it. So what we, I'm glad to hear this, because this is a lot of what we do elsewhere. We just income tier, right, across the board, because you need higher income folks in those deals to help make the lower rents you get on the deeply affordable units work. Cross subsidization is essential. So I'm glad to hear this. This is
out of the new tax law that was passed.
So I know that from a previous session, we learned that the city can help with like development monies for ARHA, but they can't intermingle operating. Like they couldn't beef up the operating subsidy. But does that include, like, I know the city does a rental assistance thing. Like, can the city give a rental assistance to a tenant who then can take that to top up his or her own income to now afford the unit that's been redeveloped at a higher? Does that count as a subsidy if it goes to the tenant and then the tenant gives it to ARHA?
So you're talking about the operation side now. So we should be clear so everybody understands. Construction of the unit and then long-term operations of the unit. For the deeply affordable units and the replacement units, the public housing replacement units, that's a public housing eligible person or they're a Section 8 eligible person. And there's a subsidy that attaches to that, either a public housing subsidy or a voucher. The city is experimenting with a pilot for rental assistance. That is a small pilot right now. And I would suggest to all of you, part of what you're doing is advocating for the city to expand resources to be able to expand that pilot. But they're experimenting with that, but it's at a small scale right now. But you were right. If they had that, then the city could provide a rental subsidy for the tenant, and the city could tie that to a deeply affordable unit, i.e. 0 to 30%, for example, to make the numbers on the operating performa work a little bit better. But that is possible.
So I guess, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you can vote for C, but that doesn't necessarily require ARHA to redevelop a 30% unit.
No.
They could redevelop 50% unit and the city could kick in a rental top.
Yes,
up.
Correct.
That could be used to reach that same person.
Correct.
Okay.
Can we vote?
Can we vote? All right, we're ready to vote? All right, is that all your questions?
That 0 to 30% with the new executive order that may be proposed going up to 35, how would that impact this?
Anybody has an answer to that?
It hasn't been passed yet, so we shouldn't consider it.
It's proposed but not yet passed.
No,
I understand. That's the amount of, that's the percentage of your income that you're going to pay in towards. The 0 to 30 that we're talking
right
about is the household income and not the amount of money that they're paying.
Are you talking about Ben Carson's proposal?
Yes.
Oh, that's different altogether then. I don't know where that's going to go, but. But he's proposing, you know, increasing the rents that tenants pay. Right now, tenants pay 30% of their household income or a minimum flat rent, but it's 30%, whatever that is. He's proposing
35. Or 150 flat.
Right. So it just came out. It just came out, so we don't know where it's going to go.
What a guy.
Voting time. Yes, sir.
Can you talk about what's the public definition, what's the definition of public?
So right now, the resolution 830 just talks about affordable units. And so the proposal here is that you adopt the federal definition of publicly assisted. And publicly assisted would be the definition that attaches to the equivalent of a public housing unit, or it could be a Section 8 unit, it could be 211, elderly assisted, but there is a federal definition that would apply so that there is not vagueness over when you talk about an affordable housing unit, everybody can say the same thing.
Are we talking, in the parlance, however, people, at least I think in this community, confuse affordable housing with subsidized housing. And what are we talking about here?
So this is what we're trying to get at, right? So remember, the original resolution 830 units were all public housing units. As they're being redeveloped, they're not all coming back as public housing. Some of them are coming back as project-based voucher units, right? Or there's a voucher attached to them. So the idea really here is to adopt this, and we have the definition in here. Remember, as I talked about, the publicly assisted housing can serve folks who earn up to 80% of the area median income.
What is that?
So we're expanding it to publicly. Sorry, go on.
That's okay. There's an inherent tension, it strikes me, between C and D.
Okay.
With an 80% AMI definition, federal definition, versus what the city might set or has set typically for our housing, especially at these
levels. Right.
Okay.
And I'm glad to acknowledge that, because we're going to come back to that when we talk about what the city should do with this money.
Okay.
All right? Location. One of the things came up early. I promise we're going to get to all this, was location, right? And that location here is defined as comparable location and or access to transit services, schools, jobs, amenities, etc. So this really kicks in if you're going to move units off their original footprint, right? You're considering location as well. That's what this is saying. All right?
Yep.
So please vote.
What if we want to delete something?
Oh, do tell. What would you eliminate?
No, I want to delete something that I voted for.
Revote. It's the last vote that counts.
Well, you can pick
multiple.
You
hit the number again.
You can make multiple choices on
I thought you set this up this way.
No, but everybody has to revote.
That's fine.
Everybody has to revote.
I'm sorry, Brenda, you got me confused. What are you doing
about
there?
Slide, uh-huh. You can select as many options as you would like, because we are defining what you think substantially equivalent means, what it should include. So you can include multiple choices and multiple selections for this particular answer or question.
Everybody heard Brandy?
You want to start up?
But if you hit the button twice, just start.
You can.
But I think, Brady, are you clearing it?
Yeah.
So I think we're going to read it.
I know. That's why I said that would help me hit me.
So everybody just wait for
me. I want to go with this, but I don't know that you don't know what you said.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Betty
said
vote.
I was nervous for you.
Okay, so we re-vote on this?
Yes.
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 And we just vote for the ones that we want.
Correct.
Not on.
Yes.
Okay.
Family of four, 80,000.
80,000.
The question was, can we get a number attached to what 80% AMI means? So that is approximately for a family of four earning $80,000. All right, everybody's voted?
Yes.
Brandy, you've got the system back there down?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, to look at all of them, six of you basically said yes to minimum unit size. 12 of you, this is the bedroom mix. 13 of you, minimum standard of affordability. 14 of you, location. and then seven of you the federal definition, all right? That's what this means. Okay, this is about the time.
And this if, is select one.
And this is, yes, so this one is all about if the resolution is revised or it is new, the requirement for the period of affordability, which is one of the questions that has come up multiple times in our discussion. Right now it says 20 years. The current document says 20 years. And you have to tell us if you prefer that we leave it as is. This is a no change. The second one is extend to 40 years. You should know that most of the funding sources right now really require 40 years, and by default, folks are doing 40 years. The next one is keep it unchanged at 20 years, but state or clarify that the 20 years is a minimum, right? Which means that it can be anything above that, it just can't be less than that, right? Because funding sources are dictating that anyway. And then the last one here is do not define it in the document, but allow specific funding sources to determine what that is. So that could be the low-income housing tax credit right now, it's 40 years. The city incentives program, like tax exemptions, might have additional overlays on that. Please vote. One is to make no change, some change, or kind of a hybrid. Ms. Wanda, you good? Mm-hmm. All right, we're voted. Brandy, doing magic back there? Okay. So the majority of you picked B, extend to 40 years, which is what your funders are requiring right now. All right. Let's keep moving. This is number five on your printed page. This is all about a new policy now. If there is a new policy, this has nothing to do with the one that the Housing Authority and the city have together. This is a brand new policy. This one asks about what should be required by the city for city-financed projects. If the city is going to be a funder, right, what should the city require for its money? And this is regardless if it's Housing Authority developed or somebody else.
Well, doesn't the city already help with?
No.
Funds? No?
The city gives no money at all?
It's just
this
zero. Not for Resolution 830.
Nothing for Resolution 830.
So this, Helen.
Yeah, I would say in terms of what we would be doing currently when there is a development that includes Resolution 830 units, we would potentially be providing city funds for the development piece of it. We provide an ongoing tax exemption for the units or a pilot program, which is a payment in lieu of taxes. And we provide relief from fees. So just to give you, an order of magnitude, it might be saving $150,000 on the development applications. It might be saving permit fees of several thousand. And currently it also includes the sewer tap fees, which are $8,000 a unit. And those are paid by other nonprofits. So.
And remember, the goal is to always try to get the city to have more money to be able to put in. And I know there's a movement afoot to try to raise some tax revenue to fund the equivalent of an affordable housing trust, perhaps, right? So don't just think about what it is today that the city does, but think about it going forward, because we have to agree the city ideally needs more money to be able to help deliver on what you all say is a pressing need, and this is not a solution that can be done just by ARA units alone, all right? So this is, think ahead, yes? So, yes, so this is not a one or done, okay? You can pick multiple. We want you to go through each of these, right? So the first one is, again, this, yeah?
So, good. Like, one of the options is no new requirement. What are the current requirements?
Helen, clarify the current requirements.
Well, I think under Resolution 830, we would say it would be at least 20 years. We would, I think one of the reasons for this process was to sort of establish what the affordability levels should be that the city requires for its support, you know, to in terms of providing funds for development so that ARHA doesn't have any debt on the project. That's typically our goal when we provide city financial support, is so that there's no mortgage to pay back and so that the rents can be kept very low. But that's one of the things we're talking about as part of this process. I would say the other, some of the other requirements that are in Resolution 830 are things that we have not strictly followed in recent developments, and that's for a variety of reasons. But I think this federally publicly assisted definition was one of them that's actually in the original 830, but it's not one that we have followed in all recent developments.
Dan.
So I'm sorry to be slow, I know, but I didn't follow the answer before. So the answers to one of the questions that was asked in our first module says the city provides funding to ARHA to help subsidize costs related to the development of public and other affordable housing. So how is that different from financing, city financing?
So this is not, this includes non-ARHA units too. So this is not just what the housing authority is doing.
Is so that what the Resolution 830 unit is?
Absolutely.
For ARHA?
Right, this is all about if there's a new policy, right? Whether there's an existing resolution, the resolution stays as a change. Because remember the first question I asked you, right? Resolution 830 can stay unchanged or it can change. The issue right now is if you are not the housing authority, right? The policy only attaches to the housing authority. Right? Nobody else is a party to Resolution 830, but the city and the housing authority. The city currently has an agreement with ARHA, and that includes helping to finance the delivery of those units. Okay? Yes, sir.
Information on C, that's all. Could you give a couple of incentivizing tools?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that one. So the incentivizing tools. So right now, pilot programs are available to the housing authority, right? So if this gets extended as a new tool, I mean, to non-ARHA developments, right? The question is, should those get extended to other developers so that they can deliver the equivalent of these kinds of units that we're talking about? So that's one example. Tax exemptions, fee waivers, the list that Helen just went through that is currently available as part of the deal with ARHA to deliver these units.
Or for example, in the Brannock area, ARHA units are specifically exempted from contributions to the Brannock Fund, which includes parks and other improvements. So that would, and that Carpenter's Shelter, just again, to give people a level of magnitude about what that support is, for Carpenter's Shelter, is that a $750,000 contribution?
Sorry, how much is our
the Braddock to Fund?
Parks.
How much is Carpenter's Shelter?
To the Open Space Fund?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's $600,000.
So again,
so that gets exempted as a benefit for developing.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's not cash, but by exempting it, it's a contribution to the project. So the idea, it's more people delivering affordable housing, not just ARHA, and the tools get extended.
On D, when you're talking about city land that becomes available for future development, are you talking about land that the city owns and makes available to a developer?
Yes. if
or
you're
free, right?
If
I'm serious.
So, but that could be part of the discussion, right? Because land has value, and if you had to go acquire land to and build affordable housing, you might not do it. So we might talk about how the land comes into the deal to help make the project affordable.
So the city might say, we'll give you this land if you all have deeply affordable housing included in the development.
Exactly. It's leveraging the tools of the city and to not just be talking about money, because land is valuable.
Right. But it could be they could sell the land and require this, because why would the city get rid of its land?
Correct.
Which...
It's hard to set that tight. It's hard to pay for the land and have...
Then you can't.
You start to get both. You're selling it and trying to get it.
Right.
The idea really is to think about how does the city use its land? If it has land that becomes available, it's surplus land or land you want to redevelop because it's underutilized now, and that becomes part of the calculus for thinking about contributing to affordable housing.
Or co-locating housing with public facilities. Which is used like the station.
Like
exactly.
A station with home and care.
Right.
Exactly.
So that's...
Because it doesn't be housing exclusively, right?
Exactly.
It's just thinking about city-owned land in a different way. All right. Please vote. Three more to go. Your last vote is the one that counts.
But this is the one that you can do more than one.
Yes. You can pick multiple here. This is not only one. You can pick multiple here. I'm sorry?
It's either A or one of the four.
It's either A or one of the four. Yes, thank you. All right, everybody, you're done? All right. All right. So A, only two of you said you shouldn't have any new requirements. Minimum affordability levels, access to the tools that the housing authority currently has access to, and city land in the mix for the conversation about the same, and then nine of you on site amenities, okay? And I think we have one last question for you.
And then back to the first one.
And then back to the first one, where we started. Okay, this is about the financial commitments from the city. In exchange for providing deeply affordable units now. The city cares the most about deeply affordable units. So for example, while Aura can build anything it wants, and replacement units can go all the way up to 80%, right, of the area median, the city has been worrying the most about how to preserve or add deeply affordable. That's the 0 to 30%. And Helen, 30% AMI is what for family of four?
It would be about 35 or 36,000.
Okay. So this question really talks about what financial commitments should be provided by the city to housing providers. This is not about Aura now, okay? This is any housing provider that is looking to use city funding, okay? What should the commitment should be provided by the city to housing providers in exchange for providing these deeply affordable units? This is another one, you can pick more than one.
So these are like non-profit.
Anybody, it could be private developers. It could be a market rate developer that's coming to town and there's an opportunity for a deal. It could be the housing authority. It could be nonprofit, some of who are in the room. But
oh,
this
can include our
house. Yes, because this is all about, see, you've edited this out, the deeply affordable units. All right? So if the city's going to put its money on the table and it wants deeply affordable,
have the legal authority there state tax exemption?
Yeah.
Yes. That is my understanding. Am I?
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
So that doesn't violate.
If we have the authority to choose to do it under the code, some jurisdictions have chosen not to do it.
Most of the housing master, most states, we have to go and get state enabling legislation to allow us to do.
I can show you the code.
This is Mike Butler's big thing, right?
I didn't think, I thought we could do it for renovation and.
In Fairfax, we ran into a problem with sewer tap fees because of the bonding associated with it, the legal language within those single rate sets.
Okay. You voting? Three more to go. You can change your mind. All right, we're at 18. Let's see. All right. I failed. Emily just reminded me, one of your options was other. You have on your, in front of you, because there's no way to do it on the technology. If you have another suggestion, please write it on this card and we will collect it and just leave it or give it to Randy or myself or Emily, okay, before you leave. All right, so no major surprises here. The other, three of you said other, so we expect at least three index cards. All right? I'm gonna go back to our first question.
I can use some ice cream around that.
Yeah, let's remove the ice cream.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to be quiet so you can think about this one, because I already asked it.
And should we reread the
All right, I'm going to reread the first question. ARRA would prefer that the current resolution remain unchanged to continue to provide maximum flexibility to the agency. Dan.
I still don't understand why you couldn't answer both B and C. I want the current resolution 830 with ARHA to be revised, and maybe I want a new thing to cover new providers too. Why I don't understand why those are mutually exclusive.
Or if you vote for C, are you necessarily excluding A and B?
No. I'm sorry, there are several people talking about
the same thing, that C really stands alone, that you could have C and A or C and B.
Correct.
But the way it's structured, you can't do that.
Oh, I see the question. So your question is, this is forcing you into a choice and you're saying it's a false choice because you could have both. All right, so Randy, we're gonna have them manually vote on each of these.
Yeah, we can separate.
Can we override can you override it? Okay. So we're going to separate these as individual votes, okay? So it's not an either or, we're going to vote on each of them.
Are we going to do that by hand?
Manually, yes.
By hand.
It's manually, because you won't be fast enough to change this, right? Unless you're going to be fast. All right, so how many of you think that the current resolution should remain the same as it is right now? One, two. Yep, all right, two. Emily and Brandy, you're noting that, okay? How many of you think the current resolution should be revised? 14. How many of you think that there should be a completely new resolution?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right?
To
you have to say what's in the new resolution?
Well, it's sort of implied in the layout.
It's those questions we just went through, the kinds of things. We just went backwards on this one.
Yeah, I think going to the other questions did help with this one.
Good. All right, so those are the questions, and please, if you have any other...
Undecided.
Oh, sorry. Undecided. Who does not have an opinion?
We do.
No one does.
Okay. All right, so I want to thank you for your time. I know that this is a little zigzaggy, but sometimes you've got to meander a bit to get to a good place. We will be sharing the results of the summer with all of you. We're going to send this survey to the additional folks who couldn't come tonight, and we will add those to the results from tonight. Helen wants to say something.
And we are going to be briefing the ARHA Redevelopment Work Group, which includes Mary and Selena and John Chapman, who's with us most of the time, as well as Vice Mayor Wilson and ARHA Chair Daniel Bauman. On what this committee did on May 7th. We'll send that out so that if any of you would like to attend, we're also talking about taping that meeting, and anything that is produced as a written report of your work, we'll share with you so that you can chime in and if you would like to provide any additional insights or comments.
Yeah, I was going to ask if this all ultimately leads to a written report or
of
something that we
does.
Would be.
Yes,
there is everything now. We need to kill trees.
Well, it could be an electronic.
It will be electronic. They weren't giving you any more papers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy, for holding down the fort on our technology.
Yay, Brandy.
But
part of it is also that they have that.
I don't know where that came from, but all of a sudden she's there.
And also I think the.
You see, like, all of, not running, you know, I never saw her before, but you know what I mean? Now I'm on the street, you know, and I see her like all the time, and she's like, we got it, you know, we're taking care of it.
You know, if you had to have a life.
She's there, and just gonna be on the same.
Exactly.
Of all the matters that I'm trying to figure out.
This is the one.
Yeah, that's what. Here, there's different organizations in your.
Okay, it's whichever's easier. I can come down.
No, actually.
All right, I'll be here. Really, the first room that you would have ran me to, minimum rent.
I looked at it a couple of times.
Yes, okay.
Very, very.
And that's where you're new day.
She's been like, oh, this week is very. Wanda, I'm the person Matt that you met earlier tonight.
Yes,
do you have a ride home okay?
Right.
Oh, good. Oh, okay, good.
Thank you for asking.
Okay, yeah, because it would have been a problem. All right, thank you.
Wednesday,
yeah,
I think
this is I'm about to give you a card.
Okay.
The most recent okay. I'm going to give you my card, and I'm also going to give you my a couple copies of the so-called grab card, which I think I have here.
Okay.
Just lets people know a little bit about me.
Excellent.
So that way.
We have two meetings, one in May.